This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. It's your sports bros, Rob.
Right.
And, whoa, that was premature.
Yeah. Well, you said sports bros, so I'm like, we're right here.
Rob and Suk, I'm Rob.
No, I'm not going to give you no cookie.
Sometimes and there's Big premature. Suk right over there.
It happens. Oh, happens to everybody.
A little clunky today,
a little
man.
Clunky.
But that's okay. It's because the Masters is so good.
It's this Royals game.
We're can't gripping.
Can't take my eyes off of it.
We can't hit for S. I already hate this team.
A fun part of the early season baseball is finding out which members of your team that you hate the most. Because you know who you're going to like. But the hate bucket, it's an evolving sort of thing. And so with a new spring upon us... You have to learn who you're going to hate, and it's kind of fun to watch it evolve in real time.
Who do you hate so far?
There's a reliever for the Mets, young. He's like 81, and I don't really have. He's not the worst, but every time he comes in, it pisses me off. And I want to hate Jesse Winker, but I'm gonna be forced to kind of like him.
I hate Michael Massey.
Yeah.
Do you even know who that is?
No.
Exactly.
That's why you hate him?
Well, he sucks. And they keep throwing him out like he's their second baseman.
Yeah.
And he just sucks. He just sucks. He's a punching Judy. He can't hit.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Yeah. I hate Danny.
They always have a guy like that.
Yeah. Every team. That's what I'm saying. You discover who it is that you hate.
Even teams of yours that win the World Series, you have guys that you hate when they get a pinch hit at bat or an appearance out of the pen.
For
you're
sure.
Like, no, not this guy.
Yeah. Because they screw it up.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the Pasquatch... He ain't my guy either. He's overrated.
It happens. The other one, too, is like when you bring up a young guy and everyone tells you that he's supposed to be good and they keep telling you that, but he sucks, that guy will quickly become someone that I hate.
Michael Massey.
There you go.
Well, anyway, you guys probably don't care about that, do
probably
you?
Probably not.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Yeah. Maybe we if don't. You like the Royals.
We don't care. Joe Harrington's coming on our show today. He likes to come on our show sometimes.
On Fridays?
Yeah. We'll see what he's into today. And then the club tonight, I've got another plane turning around story.
Seems to be happening an awful lot. I'm just waiting. Eventually, it's going to happen where the Club 1080 in your life will coincide, and you will be on a plane that turns around.
Yeah, no pun intended, but these things will collide at some point.
Yes.
Rop and the plane turning around.
And I know.
The amount of anger and just seething, just vitriol that you will have when it happens, it's going to be fantastic.
You know... I will not be angry because that is a useless tool, okay? But you know
you
what?
You won't be angry?
Well, I will be angry, but I will have to, I have to dismiss the anger. I can't, like, that's no good for anybody. You just, it's not good for me. It's not good for anger. Just, you got to toss it out the window. Yes, your inclination is to be mad, but what are you going to do about it? So I'm not going to be mad. What I'm going to do, the useful tool is they have stacks and stacks of booze on airplanes. Mm-hmm. And you better believe I'm going to help myself. If we are going back to Portland.
Do you just show up and just start?
I will be helping myself.
Start grabbing handfuls. I want Rob to put one of those little bottles in between each knuckle. Like he's just.
The gray with Liam Neeson? Exactly. He's going to fight the wolves?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go grab the tray and start passing them out. It's the least they could do for us.
I would think that, yes, that is, if you are going to turn a plane around, I do think that that becomes an open bar situation, in my humble opinion.
It should.
I'm sorry, I want to run. That's I'm sorry, I want to rum.
Okay. Yeah. A little bit of a stretch.
I liked it.
I'm okay.
You know what?
With it.
I'm going to allow it. It's a Friday. I'm going to allow it.
Well, right now, though, guys, at 5:14, it is time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number 5.
Is a series ever big in April?
No. God, no.
Okay.
What? Like, the Mets have a series with the A's. Am I supposed to pretend that that's big?
Well, the 5-8 Mariners host the first-place Rangers tonight.
Oh, stop it.
For the first of three.
That's not.
It will be... Wait, hold on. Pitcher matchup?
The Mariners had an 11-game
lead. Yeah, what is the matchup?
Bryce Miller against two-time Cy Young winner
DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
So the Mariners will be shut out.
I can see that, yes.
We have Cubs-Dodgers later. Right now, the Giants already lead the Yankees 5-0. Do not mess with the San Francisco Giants. They are 9-3.
The grandson of the wind is coming for you.
This is not sustainable, right? Like, I watched. The Giants didn't do much in the offseason. Dude, they sucked last year.
That's right. Just made a leadership change. Brought Buster Posey in to be the president, and everything's good.
Do you want to talk about a collection of Punch and Judies? How are they winning?
Would you have great sex question. With Buster Posey?
No. I just named a dog after him.
Look, you would do hand stuff. You would.
He's a handsome enough guy.
Yeah, that's the answer to that question is yes.
It's no power bottoming the George Bush, but you know.
Only after that first pitch. Let's put some context behind that, Buck. Don't throw shade my way.
Who said it was your way?
Well, the Blazers have two games left. They are 35-45. That's not very good, but some people are like, better than last year.
It's enough to get the GM a contract extension.
They host Golden State tonight. I don't think anybody's playing. As a matter of fact, I believe Big Sook is suiting up for the start.
Yeah, there is no one. I love that we've decided the last three games of the year when it didn't matter to pull the cord. Great move, everybody.
Yeah, we're without DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Scoot Henderson, Ant Simons, Bryce McGowan's, and Robert Williams. Denny's doubtful, Shaden's question.
God, no one. Who is playing for them?
I think Kamara's going to play. And that might be it.
The
him
remix,
against the world.
Baby. Call up the remix. Let's do this.
UCLA transfer Ade Mara is 7'2". He's expected to be a first-round pick in next year's draft. Today, he committed to Michigan via the portal.
The damn portal.
Number 3.
A one-year contract for veteran quarterback Joe Flacco. He is headed to the Browns.
Joe Flacco.
He had 5 starts with Cleveland 2 years ago, went 4-1. The deal's worth up to $13 million.
It's good to be Joe Flacco. He's not going to make the $13 million, but say he gets 10. And then New Orleans needs a quarterback now, too. Sounds like Derek Carr may need shoulder surgery that would end his entire season.
Don't they still have what's-his-nuts?
Whoops. They got Spencer Rattler, and I think Jake Haener might still be there.
Whatever happened to Hill?
Taysom Hill. But he's not really a quarterback. He's just, we don't know what he is. But he's not going to be their starter. So all of a sudden now people are saying New Orleans at 9. See a lot of Shedeur Sanders to New Orleans at 9. So just another team to throw in the mix.
Number two.
Pasquantino just grounded into a double play.
Your boy the Pasquatch. Hadn't heard that till today.
Is he going to jump in your hit bucket?
What? I said the Pasquatch is overrated. Everybody loves him, but I don't see the fuss. I'm Bobby Witt, ride or die.
Mine is Brett Beatty. I hate him.
Yeah, he's supposed to be good,
but he's
not.
He's supposed to be good, and he's not.
Young guy.
He pisses me off.
The new Pac-12 TV deal is expected to be announced soon, and once that happens, expansion is the focus, with eyes on convincing Memphis and UNLV.
Yeah, they've circled back. Remember, they originally both said no to that, and the idea is that you get a TV deal, maybe it's a little better than what the Mountain West has to offer. Circle back, and they've got to get somebody. I mean, I guess like Sacramento State is sitting there if you want, but they're going to try to shoot for a little broader than that. And I asked the question, does it really matter?
Well, I think if you get Memphis and UNLV, that is, yes, way better than getting Sacramento State. But so I guess it would matter. But if you already get your TV deal, I mean,
TV deal, by the way, they're saying somewhere probably in the neighborhood of around $10 million.
Number one.
And number one, we have round two at the Masters. And it is shaping up to be one hell of a weekend. Here's what you have. Justin Rose was only one under today on a day when scores were pretty low, at least early. He is 8 under, leads by 1 over Bryson DeChambeau, who is 7 under. Rory McIlroy shot the round of the day, a 6 under 66. He is back to 6 under along with Corey Connors. Those guys are 2 back. Then you have Shane Lowry, Scottie Scheffler, Tyrrell Hatton, and Matt McCarty at 5 under. And, I could keep going. Do you want me to keep going?
You got Should a couple of those. You can
Day and Hovland, 4 under.
Jason Day at 4. Hideki Matsuyama, 3 under. Morikawa, 3 under. It's a great leaderboard.
Shoffley, 2. Fleetwood, 2. Yeah. Among the notables, 2 missed the cut. Now, +2 was the cut. So just getting in under the wire, John Rahm, yeah. Patrick Cantlay, and Jordan Spieth. Missing the cut, Dustin Johnson, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley, Sergio Garcia, Fred Couples, Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Sepp Straka, Billy Horschel, and yes, our man, Nick Dunlap.
hey.
He did not rally.
Throw some credit to Nick Dunlap, though.
Nick Dunlap, 71 today, after a 90.
After a 90.
A respectable 71.
Yesterday. I mean, that is a pretty good.
Yes.
Good for him on the turnaround.
Seriously, that is. A lot of pros would have withdrawn.
Yes.
Oh, my back hurts.
Oh, my wrist.
Look, you go out and you embarrass yourself with a 90, you come back with a respectable 71.
Oh, I'm hurt.
I'm sorry. That's the tip of the cap right there.
Victorico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacamas Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victoricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. Golfers doing bits, next on The Fan. Today at the Masters, we have audio of Jordan Spieth being a child.
Makes sense.
Why?
Golfers in general tend to be pretty temperamental, whiny little bitches.
Yeah, I've liked Jordan Spieth. I think he's great, and I think he's fun to watch. He's very animated out there. His game is wild.
And you can judge for yourself, but it sounds like he's just doing his best to try to stay not frustrated, even though he's clearly quite frustrated.
I don't think of him as a baby. I think he gets it. I agree with you that a lot of guys are just whiny bitches out there, but I don't think he's one of them. But I don't know what the hell happened to Jordan Spieth. At one point, he was Scottie Scheffler.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, he won.
He was the future of golf.
He was on that run and that trajectory.
He won 2 majors in 2015, finished 2nd in the PGA. He was Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
And I know he had an injury, but he has just never been able to get it back. And now he's almost, is he 30 yet? Because back then he was like 21. He was a prodigy.
He is, let's look how
he's
old
31.
He is. Yeah, he's 31. He'll be 32 this year.
He hasn't won a major in 8 years.
Remember that. Wins the U.S. Open and the Masters and finished 2nd at the PGA all in 2015.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Oh, I didn't see. Did you say he finished 2nd at the PGA? Sorry. I heard you say he won the two.
No, he finished second at the PGA, and then he won again in 2017. He won the Open.
Yep.
And he, I don't know, dude. It's so weird. He's a head case now.
I mean, this is unfortunately. Look around golf, though, because like we consider Rory to be one of the great players of all time. When's the last time Rory won a major?
God, I know.
I think you could make the case that there are, that Spieth is more along the lines of this is what we see in golf. We see windows. We see windows of greatness. And then after the window kind of closes, then once in a while you see like a flash of it. You go out, you win one more. But I think that whether it's Tiger or Phil, I'm trying to think of who else in the modern age went on and won five or six of these. They're just the exception. They're not the rule. And, you know, we'll see what Scheffler has. Does Scheffler have the ability to keep it open for years and years and years? Because we have seen flashes, whether it's Justin Thomas or whether it's Brooks Koepka, whether it's Jordan Spieth. We see this where, you know, or Dustin Johnson or Rahm, we're like, well, this will be the future of golf. And then it's never quite yeah, the same.
I get that. But Spieth's a little different in that he's just really wild. He's off the reservation wild, but then sometimes pretty good. Rory's been just good.
Yep.
He hasn't won a major in a long time, but he's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Spieth has not, but then every once in a while it's the strangest thing in golf.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth, and here is him on the 18th hole with his caddy Michael Greller today.
I'm so frustrated, man.
All right, we gotta get over it.
Good take for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a full shot.
How about the little grr, gosh?
Well, I mean, I don't know what
it's
like. How
about Greller telling him, get over it?
I don't know what it's like to truly be elite at something. Not many people do, right?
Like, what about radio?
Yeah, we're the Jordan Spieth of radio.
Well, I'm not, but I might be.
Only imagine the frustration.
Yeah.
To know that for a year or two or three, everything clicked and you were the best in the world, and then
you just can't get it back.
You know, I heard once, I'm trying to remember who it was. There was a musician that was talking about this.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, it was more of like a. They weren't a one-hit wonder. I wish I could remember who this was, but they had had some success and they had written a couple hits. And I think they were talking to Howard Stern about this, and he said, I cannot begin to tell you the madness it is that when you know it's in you to write a hit song and write a hit album, and then album after album, song after song, it doesn't work, and you just sit there and stare at that pen and stare at the paper and are like, why? What? And the harder you try, the worse it gets. And you know it's in there. And I think about that with some, because golf is such a mental thing. The difference between winning and losing and you know, the major championships, I can't imagine that level of frustration, knowing that it's there, knowing that all the physical ability is to be there, and you've done it before, and you can't recapture it.
And it's more a game against yourself than it is against the other person. It's just you and the ball, and you've been able to figure it out before, and you can't now. I can't imagine.
It's possible that his wrist is just, it's kind of a chronic wrist injury. I knew he had surgery last year, so maybe he just can't do the things that he used to be able to do, and he's just really couldn't. He has not been able to find a new swing that suits it with the wrist bothering him. Mm-hmm. But he's just been a really wild ride.
Well, and
I'm really hoping that he eventually gets another major. But it just seems so far off for him.
Well, and I make the argument that this is more the norm. The first one that comes to mind is, and you mentioned the injury, David Duvall.
Yeah.
David Duvall was the best golfer in the world, and he had a back injury and was never the same. And so, again, go back to thinking, in the golf swing, think about how many parts have to turn exactly right in order to make that work to where you're winning tournaments. And if you have one little tinge, one little backache that causes you to just tweak it a little bit, or you can't go back quite as far as you mentioned the wrist, so now we have to change our swing a little bit. And you're literally talking about rebuilding the hardest thing to do in sports to build a consistent golf swing. or as you age. It's just, I just don't think we appreciate what a kick in the nuts that game is at that level.
I agree.
Because you know.
I agree with that.
Spieth can still go out and play well, and all these guys can play well, but there's a difference between playing well and the razor's edge to being a champion and winning majors.
Yeah.
And I just think we kind of take it for granted that all parts of your body and mental and everything has to come into one in order to reach that. And I just, not many guys were able to extend it past a couple years.
Well, he made the cut.
Yeah.
Spieth.
Barely.
But barely, by one shot. So he'll play this weekend. Let's get Joey Harrington in here, find out what's going on with him, talk a little football. And you know what I'm going to ask him? I'm going to see if he has heard about Dante Moore getting pushed by Austin Novosad down
that,
there.
That hot article that we read?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, that's good pizza.
Joey Harrington coming up next, but first, Buck with SportsCenter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's story time with Joey Harrington, who is, I believe, on his way back from the second best golf location for the week.
Number two.
You see what I did there?
I see.
You know, the Masters is probably yeah. one. But he's at, will you abandon Dunes? Is that the rumor?
I may or may not have been. I can neither confirm nor deny my location. I was on secret assignment.
Wow. Did you play Sheep Ranch?
I did. We were on a scouting mission, a ops assignment for the Battle at Bandon, the Safeway Foundation Battle at Bandon this summer. Hmm. We're shifting to the Sheep Ranch for our first round, and we haven't played there for the tournament. So we had to, you know, get a few details in order.
So was this a one and done? You just drove down, played, and came home?
Drove down yesterday, had the meetings, finished the meetings, and I was like, well, we might as well go play shorties. So we did some recon on shorties for a potential horse race. And then, had some dinner, woke up, played golf, hopped in the car.
Is that the greatest meeting location of all time? I mean, I think you should schedule all your meetings down there.
I've been trying to get Odyssey to schedule our story times down there.
Yeah.
However, it's a cost thing, apparently, you know.
No way.
Yeah.
Sheep Ranch is
lovely. I don't know.
Sheep Ranch is lovely. I was fortunate enough they let the media come down and play it like a week before it opened. And it just everything they do down there is just unbelievable.
Well, you know, the beauty of Sheep Ranch is that it's amongst all the other courses, it's the easiest.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I mean, they
you don't need to get kicked in the teeth at every turn.
They needed a course that, you know, especially if the wind's down. It's you know, it's a gettable course. It's
well, no
fun.
Bunkers, you
nice,
know.
Easy. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's not that easy. I just mean it's easier than the others, and that's good. They needed that in the portfolio. And by the way, let me say this, Joey. I don't think you needed to go have your meetings down there. That could have easily been a Zoom.
It's a bold statement.
I think you need to keep your little precious mouth shut before I come up there and close it for you. I think you are in the words of one of my favorite people. You are yucking my yum right now, right? And so I don't appreciate where you're going with this.
You got to stop on the way through. I keep meaning to do it. I want to play that bar run outside of Roseburg. Everyone's saying that needs to be that. Have you played it?
It flooded.
Oh.
Closed 10 feet underwater.
Whoa.
No way.
Yep. I was talking to the great Joe Bentham, one of the two best caddies out at Bandon this morning, and he said 10 feet underwater. Dunsies.
Oh, wow.
Dunsies like Duns?
For how long, Dunsies?
Like for the year, Dunsies.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Completely ruined.
No way. So that probably means it's going to keep happening, right? Every winter?
Well, you know, I'm not going to. We're going into a very different sidebar here. Let's get back to the important thing, which is golf.
Well, listen, that's breaking news. I mean, that's everybody's been talking about bull run.
Yeah, it's been bar run.
Bar run. Sorry. Yeah, bar run. But that's that hurts.
Yeah, we can talk about the new because the Bandon guy is opening one up in Westport, Washington. He's trying to create Bandon up on the Washington coast.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I think right now it's just like Westport. Mm. I think it's like Westport Links Project or whatever. But yeah, they're working with the city government up there to take. He wants to try to build a mini little Bandon up in Westport, Washington, up there on the peninsula.
How about that?
Fair enough,
Mike Kaiser.
Well, if I can drive to it, then we might have meetings there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be a lot closer than Bandon. I mean,
far is that?
I think it's like 2.5 hours.
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing another thing in Colorado outside of the Denver airport. Did you know that?
Yeah, this guy's all over the map.
Rodeo Dunes.
Yeah. Rodeo Dunes, yeah.
Yep. Man. And they are potentially, they have the land to do two more courses on the south end of town in Bandon.
Turns out...
Directly across the street from Crossing.
More courses?
Turns out when you build, like, the best golf... resort in the country, people want you to do more of them.
God, it's amazing.
That's generally how it works. How do we even get onto this subject? What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about football, probably. But wait, what did you shoot? What's the over-under? 78. Over-under 78.
So are you taking the over or the under?
I'll take the under.
Souk?
No, I like the under as well. I got confidence in you.
Faith.
Fair enough. Let's see. I birdied 3. I bogeyed 4. I doubled 8. I doubled 10. Birdied 12.
Yes.
No, check that. 13. The par 5. And then I finished 15, 16, 17, bogey, 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 and then three-putted 18 for par after getting home in two on what's the shortest par five and shot 77.
Ah, yes!
See?
Yes!
The faith is rewarded.
God.
There you go.
What a stud.
Could have been a 74, 75, though. We had it going.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Has there ever been a golf round where someone doesn't tell you their score and then finish it up with, could have been?
Did I lose you?
No.
No, we got you.
Oh, okay. Good. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're talking utter nonsense right now. Nobody really cares about what I shot on the golf course today. What kind of hard-hitting action are we going to dive into today?
So on hole nine, that's that part. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. A couple football things. We're going to go draft on you. But first, Oregon, are you hearing that Novosad looks pretty good down there and could push Dante, Dante Moore
you
for the
correct.
Starting job?
Ooh, interesting. Ask me if I care.
What?
Here's my... Okay, we've talked about this before. I do... It's spring football.
There you go.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Like, fans
until it's
care.
Like the last weekend in August, and we are strapping your pots on and stepping out onto the field at Autzen. Like, I don't care. I don't deal in rumors. I don't wade into that rumorsville of this guy looks good and what about this guy? Like, who you could slip in the bathroom next week and it's all for nothing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I wait until you show me who's on the field and then I make my judgment.
Well, plus in today's day and age, no one's coming out and tipping their hand after spring ball with the transfer portal. I would make the argument that spring practice has become a very tenuous spot for coaches when it comes to depth charts. You just, you know, I mean, guys leave on a whim. And so if there's any sort of quarterback competition, I'm guessing coaches play their cards so close to their vest at this point.
Oh, so what you're saying potentially is that this information that you're hearing, this so-called scoop, may have been leaked by the coaching staff.
Bingo.
In an effort to create the story that there is actually a competition between the two to make sure that the other one, we're assuming it's Novosad, sticks around for fall. Is that what you're saying?
I just think that there is a massive incentive for coaching staffs right now to have everyone believe that it is an open competition at every position. That's just the world we're living in right now. Because you very rarely do you go through a season with one guy. Chances are both are going to play. You're going to need your backup at some point. And if it is at all close, I mean, sometimes you go in and you know, like your senior year, it's like we didn't have a quarterback controversy. You knew you were the guy. But when you don't have a confirmed starter, I just think you have to do everything in your power as a coach, including, yes, maybe telling reporters or letting it leak that, you know, hey, the guy that is, you know, that's probably the backup is looking good. Why wouldn't you use every tool you have to keep that kid thinking, I need to stick around and play this out?
I like your style. I like it.
All right, so
plant the fake story. Even the guy who just threw three picks during spring practice, you know what? He's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Dude, I would.
I think it's going to be kind of tight.
Dude, I would 100. If I was a coach, man, that would be my MO the entire time. At every position, whoever I thought was the backup, I would talk that kid up nonstop to anyone that would be, oh, no. I've heard this guy looks great. No, it's the other guy. Trust me. I don't know what you're talking about. This other guy here, that's the guy you need to keep an eye on.
All right. In our next segment, we're going to see if we can find something Joey wants to talk about. Perhaps he has Masters picks.
Tough task.
For us. I don't know. Find out next with Joey Harrington on The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Looking ahead to the NFL draft, Joey. Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
Jackson. Well, you saw a lot of these guys up close. Sanders wasn't in your crew, right? Because you were...
Nope.
Yeah, he was in the other...
Nope. I was in the periphery in his orbit, but not working directly with him.
Yeah. So Shedeur Sanders, What does Joey think of his potential in the NFL?
I think that it is potentially spectacular and potentially catastrophic.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's... Here's the thing, though. Okay, let's talk about the actual production. Throws a great deep ball. Absolutely. Great touch. If we're going to start nitpicking, like people this last week or two about nitpicking the pat, right? He pats the ball before he throws. Okay, well, what does that do? It gives an extra quarter of a second to the DP to let him know the ball's coming out.
And
guys can do that. That guys can do it. But they're either going to have like a rocket for an arm, which, you know, I'm thinking Elway patted the ball, Marino patted the ball, Brady for a while patted the ball. The first two had rockets for an arm, right? Or the other side is you need to be unbelievably accurate, which Tom turned into. Right, so he developed into that. Now, the thing that it kind of drives me crazy a little bit in that people are trying to nitpick, what are they calling him, cocky, or they're calling him, you know, I hear people talking about his attitude. Well, if you go to any quarterback in the NFL and ask them if they're, you know, the best in the world or one of the best in the world at what they do, you have to be cocky. You got to be arrogant. You have to be a little bit of an arrogant prick to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's just the reality of it. Now, what I think, at least for me personally, makes me hesitate a little bit, and maybe this is just me being the old guy yelling at the clouds. For me, there's a difference between being arrogant and being caught up in the lifestyle, right? So how many guys did you see come through the locker room as sixth, seventh round picks who thought they had made it, or frankly, you know, first or second round picks who thought they had made it and now start enjoying the lifestyle? And they enjoy the lifestyle to the point where it actually becomes a detriment to their career because they're not as focused on their craft, right? They've made it, they've arrived. I have a hard time with Shadur's celebration of holding up that, you know, $100,000, $200,000, however much it costs, right? You know, he would celebrate after the game by putting on this expensive watch and holding it up for everybody. Now, great, you celebrate, you do you, but what that puts in the back of my mind is like, well, maybe is this really about football? Which I don't know him from, you know, from anybody else. But that's the only thing that I could potentially find as a knock, right? The talent is there, the production is there, the pedigree is there, But at this point, you start, if you're going to be spending millions of dollars on a 22-year-old kid, you better start learning every little thing about him and what makes him tick. And so, that's the only thing that I could kind of potentially think would be a, you know, implosion would be as he is more interested in the lifestyle of the NFL than actually being a dominant NFL player.
Trent Dilfer always said that. He goes, the scariest thing is people that like what football does for them and not what they can do for football. And that was always his mantra.
Right. And not to say, again, like I've never spent any extended time with him. But if I'm looking at it from the outside, it's not that, you know, arrogance, cockiness, whatever. You better be cocky if you're going to be an NFL quarterback. It's like, it's that one thing that just kind of like, why are you putting on a, you know, six-figure watch and then showing it to everybody at the end of games? Like, what's the point behind that? What's going on in your mind to make you think that that's the right thing to do? Now, maybe you're just being, you know, maybe you're just a kid and you're being immature and, you know, so be it. You live and you move on. But you know, every little thing he does is going to be scrutinized.
Well, it's a valid point because you reach a certain level where everyone is talented, and that level is the NFL. And the best way to put it, like, you have to be able, it is such a grind to be in that league and the time and effort that gets put into it, that if you don't love it, and if you aren't, either you don't have a deep passion for the game, or you aren't just competitive to where you want to rip someone's heart out, eventually the preparation and the grind and the injury rehab and all of that stuff, even if you skate by just, you know, 5 to 10% at each one of those things, it eventually catches up with you because the other guys are doing that. And I think that's the fear is, do you love it enough to put in the insane sort of time and effort it takes to truly be great, or are you happy just being decent, having a watch, having a name, having a brand? Because those are the guys that don't last very long in the league or reach a plateau and they never get any better.
Yeah. And again, just to completely emphasize, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know him. I don't know him to make a personal judgment. But from the outside looking in,
yes,
and listening to what the criticism, I don't think the current criticism is focused in the right way, where they're talking about his attitude. I think, like I said, you better have an attitude. You better have some arrogance. I think it's more just like what's the focus? Yeah. What football can do for you? Or are you looking for what you can do in the game of football?
Do you think they can find that out before anyone drafts him, or is that something that it's just going to have to, we won't know until he's in the league?
I think you don't know until you're in the league, and that can change.
Yeah.
Right? You can get to the league as, you know, as a superstar and feel like you've arrived, and you can get to the league as a cocky kid, get kicked in the teeth and realize, ooh, I need to do a little bit more and you know, downshift and make yourself a hell of a career. Like, I don't think it's not a yes or no black or white answer. I think that you look for a kid who is going to have a good foundational base, which he does in being Deion's kid and understanding how football works. He's an incredibly talented player. He seems to have the desire to go play, and you make a judgment based on that.
Yeah, because is there any way to prepare? I mean, I'm not asking you to go into great detail, but when you get drafted and you get to the city, is there any way to prepare a 20 or 21 year old young man for the fame, the women, the parties, the opportunities, the doors that all of a sudden open and everyone wants to be your friend? I'm guessing from an emotional, physical, just time standpoint, there is just a million things pulling you in different directions.
And you know what, to that point, so I would say there's two things. No, there's nothing you can do to prepare for that. I remember I was literally talking about this yesterday. I remember the moment that they handed me that check, handed you your signing bonus, and it's like, oh my God, your life has just instantaneously changed. And on the flip side, if there's going to be anybody who is prepared for that, or who has already dealt with that, or has had that as part of their life, it's going to be Shadur, right? It's going to be the kid who's lived in that world. It's going to be the kid who has grown up with a dad who has, you know, was the epitome of that. I mean, who else is going to be more prepared to deal with that than Shadur Sanders?
What do you think permeates a team more? Is it the mentality of the head coach, or is it the command of the huddle by the quarterback?
The context here,
we were talking last night, a friend and I were talking about Brady v. Belichick, and as that compares to Harbaugh v.
Herbert?
Harbaugh v. Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
Yeah. And maybe the one different, they're all good, they're all great, all four of those guys, but the one difference maybe being Brady in the huddle. I don't know. That's why I asked that question, just for some context.
Well, I guess the question I would ask back to answer that is, what happens when you take Brady away from Belichick? And what happens when you take Lamar away from Harbaugh? I mean, I don't know that I would put Lamar and Harbaugh in that same category.
I know. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I think the Brady-Belichick thing is so unique. At the end of the day, I think it's the quarterback. The quarterback is the one who's pulling the trigger. The quarterback is the one who determines the success on the field. Okay. The coach sets the tone. The coach lays the ground rules. But it's the quarterback who controls that team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be... I mean, obviously, it's a symbiotic, it's a complementary relationship.
Well, yeah, we've talked many times about how all the greats
have two.
Have each other. That, you know, Bill Walsh had Joe Montana, Joe Montana had Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. It's, you know, it's the Harbaugh-Lamar thing is really interesting because they both are Hall of Famers. But are they in that Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes category? If you had Andy Reid as coach in Baltimore, have the Ravens won more Super Bowls? You know, I don't know. I just think they're an interesting Baltimore.
I'm going to throw this back to you and say Andy Reid had Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia. Andy Reid was not Andy Reid until Patrick Mahomes got paired up with him.
I agree, but what if Patrick Mahomes didn't have Andy Reid? Is he Patrick Mahomes that we see?
No, he's not.
Right. So they need each other.
Yeah, they do, but I think that the coach needs the quarterback more than the quarterback needs the coach.
Okay, that's what I was getting. Okay, so the coach needs the quarterback more than the quarterback needs the coach. I would agree with that.
Because, I mean, Steve Mariucci wins the, you know, goes to the NFC Championship, is a perennial playoff team with Jeff Garcia and the San Francisco 49ers, and comes to Detroit and he's got some schmuck who can't even take him to the playoffs. Like, I think there's too many examples of that where it is, at the end of the day, it's the quarterback who does it. The quarterback has to have the drive. The quarterback has to have the guts, the focus, the command, all of it. But needs a coach who is going to put him into a situation that complements what he does best.
Yeah. All right. You got any hot Masters picks? Great leaderboard shaping up for the weekend.
Unbelievable leaderboard.
All the big boys.
My Masters pool is absolutely toasted.
Already?
Done.
Wow.
Yeah, done.
Who'd you have?
We had an elite tier, right? You had to pick one from each tier. You know, elite, tier one, tier two, tier three, and then a long shot. My long shot, I think, is in last place. I was like, should I pick Freddie Couples? It's like, nah, he's not going to make the cut. Of course, Freddie's, like, killing it. Although I haven't seen, been driving, so I haven't seen what's happened at the end of the day. But Højgaard was my long shot. He's, like, 47 over today. I do still have Lowry. Lowry's in the mix. I've got Scottie Scheffler, obviously. But it's all the other guys. I'm struggling. Where's Keegan Bradley? I haven't seen Keegan. He's on my list.
He's right on the cut line.
Yeah, I was going to say he's right around plus two, right?
Yeah, plus two.
Maverick McNeely. Where's Maverick
plus
McNeely?
One. Even par.
Okay. I'm still in the mix. Zalatoris.
No, he's going to miss it.
Yeah, he's going to miss it.
Yeah,
I had him. I had a little action on Zalatoris that didn't go well either.
I had John Rahm. Rahm's not, where's he sitting right now?
He made the cut.
He made it, but
barely.
Yeah. It's okay. He's been all over the map.
Big weekend action. Yeah, I need some big weekend action if I'm going to show up here. Yeah.
Well, the good news is Nick Dunlap, who shot 18 over yesterday, is 4 under today.
No, right?
God.
How do you
shut up?
No.
Not kidding.
No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He really shot. I saw that. I was like, there's got to be some sort of. He actually went out and he shot 90.
Yes, he shot 90 and he did not 3-putt.
The entire time.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He had six pars and five double bogeys on his round, but he did not three putt one hole.
I've done that.
Wow.
It's a nice little day for him today.
The antithesis, the opposite of me. I was three over, and then I three putted the last four holes. So you know what? Maybe he and I should have a little chat.
Go to the long putter. Go to the Bernard Longer putter.
That's cheating.
Dude, did you see he hit himself in the face with it today? Like, he missed a putt and got all angry and clipped himself and knocked his hat off with his putter.
All right.
Did you see the producer. About the Mercedes that they gave him.
Oh, yeah, that customer's, dude, that thing is ridiculous. The Augusta S-Class.
Yeah.
Producer's being
Not
a jerk.
Bad.
We got to go.
Yeah, Buckley's being a real pill.
Safe travels.
Yeah, maybe we'll have something real to talk about next time.
All right, yeah, we'll see. Have a good one.
All right.
There he goes.
You happy now, Buckley?
Yeah, Buck.
Killed the vibe.
Yeah. Mods PDX, the future of building is here. The club is next on The Fan.